Hello, this is Kathleen Lavelle, your roving reporter for Neurolinguistic Programming. We're here today in sunny Amsterdam at the Using Even More of Your Brain for a Change seminar with Dr. Richard Bandler and John Lavelle. And our very special guest today is Laura Spicer. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Kathleen.
Wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you.
Enjoying the seminar?
Loving it.
Oh, yeah.
Loving it.
It's amazing, too. We have like 400 people from all over Europe and different institutes coming together.
Yeah, and some of them have never seen Richard or John before, and I'm just enjoying watching their faces.
Absolutely. Now, what was your first experience? How did you find out about NLP?
Well, it's a funny story, actually, because I had a difficult son, and when he was five, I saw an article in a magazine. And there was a picture of a guy that looked like an old rock and roller. He had his fingernails painted black in those days and a long ponytail and a leather jacket. So that was one thing. And then I read the article. And it was the wisest stuff I'd ever heard. And I looked at the picture and I looked at the article and I thought, that doesn't seem to quite go together. And then I thought, maybe this guy could help my son. I thought, well, I probably can't afford to employ him privately. Maybe if I go on his seminar, I could speak to him. So I booked onto the seminar. I took the money from the family funds and booked on the seminar. And I remember at the time thinking, well, I don't know what I've learned, but I've had the best time of my life. I came out of that practitioner seminar feeling better than I'd ever felt after a holiday. I thought, wow, that's really cool. And then for the next months, it took months, I started to realize what I'd learned. Every day I was finding that I could do things that I didn't realize I could do. It was so easy to take the skills on, the way they're taught by Richard and John, that they'd just gone in without me even noticing, and suddenly I could do all these awesome things. And people were saying to me, wow, I just feel so much better just from being with you. And I thought, well, now I've got to do the master prac, but I thought, I've taken family funds, so I've got to earn that much back just as a result of going on the course. And I thought, well, if I give myself a year, in those days, that was a lot of money to me. Mm-hmm. I was doing some voice coaching, but not very much. We'll talk about that in a minute. But really, my earnings were quite low. So I thought, you know, £500-600, it's going to take me, well, I'll give myself a year. And I'd done it in 3 weeks after the practitioner. I had made £1,000 that I wouldn't otherwise have made. And I thought, right, that's it. I've got to go on the master practitioner. And I never got round to asking Richard how to help me with my son because I had the skills.
Fabulous.
So it was a totally life-changing experience for me.
That's great. And You've continued on with NLP. I've seen you at lots of seminars around the world. And you've got your master practitioner and your trainer's license as well. And are you still doing the voice coaching?
I still do the voice coaching, which has been enormously enhanced by my NLP skills. Mm-hmm. So I can use the two in tandem, which means that something that would have taken me 4 days now takes me one and is twice as efficient and better fun. So the NLP really supports the voice work, but it works the other way around too, because the voice work really supports the NLP.
Right.
So, you know, working with other NLP practitioners, and one of the things I do is go into some practitioner courses that people run and do a morning for their people who are learning the skills so that they can then do better stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, for those listening and hearing the words voice coach, they may think you're an opera instructor or something, or doing singing, or what actually do you do as a voice coach? I mean, who comes to you for voice coaching?
Yeah, a lot of people say to me, am I a singing coach? And actually, no, I don't do anything like that. It's just about speaking to have better results. So there's no such, in my world, there's no such thing as a right voice or a wrong voice. There's an appropriate voice, a voice that conveys the information more effectively. Because I know, as you know, we're bathing people with our sound waves, and you want to bathe them and get them into the state that is going to help whatever it is going on in the interaction. So, you know, if I'm conveying to you that this is exciting or, you know, that it's relaxing or whatever. I want to be able to do that effectively. So the people that come to me, first, there's business people who want to give better presentations, who want to treat their clients more effectively, run their teams in a way that is better, quicker, easier, happier. I also get a lot of people who have got quite high up in their company, but they're kind of getting stuck at making that final leap to director status, and who want to know what it is because they know they've got the skills, but actually they're not communicating them very well. And everybody knows, yeah, they do fantastic work, but there's something about it, they're just not conveying that really authoritative, maybe they're not conveying gravitas enough, or maybe they're just not compelling enough. And maybe somebody's identified for them that they could do some work on their voices. So they come to me. Also, NLP people come to me because they more know that there's something they could do better. And then I also have two private clinics where I see people for NLP change work of other kinds, but I specialize in voice, so stammers and confidence issues, people who hate public speaking, anything to do with voice.
Do you have people come to you maybe because they might actually have a pitch where they have a high, almost whiny voice or a nasal voice, and it's just the way, you know, they've been in the environment and maybe the structure of their nose or their throat, or can you actually help them as well?
Yeah, totally. I think the combination of knowing the physiological stuff from my voice work and the thought processes together make a very powerful combination. For example, somebody who comes because they've got a whiny voice, there's probably two things going on there. One is the physiology and one is how they're thinking. Because, yeah, maybe in certain situations they're still whiny, but not so whiny, like maybe when they're having sex. Okay, but you can take that voice and start there and make sure that they're feeling wonderful inside so that their voice deepens. But then there's physiology too, because people use their muscles habitually, and their habitual muscle use is part of the process that's causing the voice. Yeah. So they do have to learn some new, maybe, breathing techniques. Maybe they're not using their tongue or their jaw in quite the way that would help them sound better.
So you just made a connection with the brain. The way they're running their brain affects their voice. So is that where the NLP kind of helped you in developing the voice coaching further as well?
Yes, because, of course, your state is what you're conveying behind the words that you're using. It's coming out in the words too. But, you know, the non-digital verbal stuff is demonstrating your state. We're good at conveying state. Actually, I'll tell you an interesting thing. Even the richest, most lovely voices can go very strange under stress, because stress has a very direct impact on the vocal tract. It takes less than a 300th of a second for adrenaline to reach the vocal tract and stiffen it.
Wow.
So as a result, what happens is somebody who has a rich, varied voice may suddenly go monotone or higher pitched. And you know, in terms of evolution, being monotone would not give away your emotions. So if you were fighting a marauding tribesman, that's a good thing. You don't want him to know that you're scared. So it just evens out so that there's just no changes of pitch. A higher pitched voice carries further. Have you ever been to a party where somebody says, "Hello!" And it's not that they're being loud, it's just they've got a more, lot more what I would call head resonance.
Right.
So in a fight or flight situation, that would carry a voice much further. You could shout across the valley for help.
Right.
But of course, if you're standing up in front of a group or working with a client, that's not so useful.
Yeah.
So one of the things is to learn how to manage stress in the voice. And again, that's easy. It's partly physical, but it's partly how people are thinking. And as NLPers, we know about getting people relaxed.
Absolutely. When we do the trainer's training, we find that people have this connection between the more volume, the higher the pitch. And we spend a lot of time just disconnecting that habit so that you can raise the volume of your voice if you're on stage and you may not have a microphone in every situation, and yet you don't have to raise the pitch.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
It seems to be like a hardwired connection that we're used to, and in learning how to have control over that so you can have great volume and great projection and still have that nice, you know, deep voice and carrying voice.
Yeah. And, you know, the more people relax and just get really engaged with the state that they want to convey, mm-hmm. then the easier it becomes. It's not the whole thing, but it's a really big part of it. When I'm working with people who aren't necessarily NLP trained, I would always start with state work. For NLPers, they know about the state stuff, so they're already halfway there. But what I find is that sometimes there's just one thing that's bugging them, like they can't get their voice deep enough, or there isn't enough flexibility. And I said to you, you know, there's no wrong or right voice. It's an appropriate one and one that can do the job. It's really that flexibility.
Yeah.
So, you know, in NLP, we know that we want to be able to be flexible with our state. How do you change from anger to calm, or from excited to, I don't know, nurturing, whatever
right.
it is? It's the same with a voice. You want to be able to convey as many different states as possible so that whatever it is you're saying, your voice is going to be helping the other person to take that message in kinesthetically as well as every other way.
That's what I love about your work, Laura, is that you're not looking for the cookie cutter voice. You don't want everyone to sound the same. So people that might have a very distinct voice, that's great for them. And it's just having flexibility within that voice so that they can still do the emotions and the different states. And it's still their voice. So you're not looking to change people's voices just to make them the best that they can be and have more, you know, flexibility. That's what I love about your work.
Well, I feel very strongly about that. And some people come to me and say, I don't like my accent, will you change it? And I just go, no. You know, it's lovely, it sounds great, and it's useful in many, many ways. I mean, if there's a time when somebody, maybe they came to me and said, I need to be a spy, and therefore I have to sound exactly English or something, then that would be a different question.
Right.
But for normal use, it's the flexibility that really counts. And, yeah, being more who you are,
right.
more strongly, more shiningly, you know, just the best of who you are, but flexibly. Because to me, that's one of the most useful things that I learned in NLP, which is, you know, if you have some control over your state and you can choose to go into a whole array of states at will and really intensely, life just lights up. Because, you know, if I'm out having fun, I'm going to be having the best fun.
Yeah.
You know, and again, there's no wrong state. The state that I want to be in at a party isn't the same state that I want to be in at a funeral, but you know, I want to be able to do either and all of them really well, so that I get the most out of life.
It's like John Lovell says, you know, that old saying about the one with the most toys wins. And John said, no, he goes, it's the one with the most choices wins.
Yeah.
Because you have that flexibility, no matter what comes at you, you have a way around, through it, over it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I hear you have some products around voice coaching as well.
Well, I'm creating some at the moment. At the moment, I have my Voice Power for Teachers DVD. So
for teachers?
For teachers.
Fabulous.
Well, that's enough. You know, I said I had a difficult child. Well, he was a little tricky when he was young. He was very bright, but he was diagnosed with all those things that kids get, ADHD.
All those letters.
Yeah,
yes.
All those letters. And so I worked pretty hard with him. And one of the things that I really noticed, having learned from Richard as well, is that it was the teachers that couldn't cope. Mm-hmm. And they were making my son's life miserable. And he would say to me every day, Mother, please, please don't send me to school and break my heart. And I remember, and you know, okay, he didn't always toe the line at school, mm-hmm. but it was them that didn't cope with it very well. Mm-hmm. And so I worked a lot with his teachers, mm-hmm. and we ended up very happy.
Yeah, most of them, they aren't able to handle it, and not by choice. They wish they had the tools or the flexibility to handle it.
Completely.
You know, so it's great that you're giving them those tools and that flexibility.
And, you know, for teachers especially, you know, young children need more expressiveness in a voice.
Absolutely.
You know, because
it's got to be as exciting as a video game.
It's got to be as exciting as a video game, and it's got to convey through all the senses what it is mm-hmm. the kids are learning so that they can get it, whatever kind of learner they are.
Right.
Yeah, there's got to be something great to look at. But if your voice is conveying that this is a really interesting thing, then they're going to immediately start with, okay, I'm going to be interested. And then you're starting already winning. So, yes, there's a DVD, Voice Power for Teachers. And basically that is some state work and then some physical exercises to open up the voice and get the flexibility. Because once the flexibility is there, then it's just a question of choice.
Yeah. I've actually seen your DVDs, and I love the way you mix the model who's demonstrating the techniques, you're explaining the techniques, and then you actually have some computer images that show the head with all the voice cords and the tongue. And so you actually have, you know, this whole package of explaining it from all the different angles. That's so useful.
Cool. Well, thank you for that.
So what's next in the products?
Well, we've got various things. We've got we've got pure NLP stuff like interview and exam nerves, overcoming them, mm-hmm. because we've been working with teachers, so that seemed something that would be useful. And then there'll be some more CDs and more DVDs. I'm doing a series of interviews with people in the personal development world, partly on their own development and what they recommend for other people, partly on how they use their voices mm-hmm. for what they do. And we're going to be filming those interviews, and they'll be coming out on DVD.
Great.
And I'm also running a practitioner course, Kathleen, in the autumn.
I hear you have a special group of people that came to you and asked for some NLP training.
Well, I did. What happened was my clients, who I go to see, my business clients, really just found it so interesting, and they wanted to know more. And I said, well, you really need to go on a practitioner course. And they said, well, we want to do that with you. So I thought, yeah, because it's fun for me, and I'm doing it as a fun thing. But of course, as you know, I've been doing it for many years, and so it's something that I can do. And so every so often I like to, spread my wings and flex my muscles. So I have some business clients who've already booked on, and also a couple of other people I've met in various places that say they'd like to do it, partly as well because we will put in an extra day, which will be the added thing of doing some voice work. There'll be the full practitioner course.
So that will be included in your practitioner?
Yes, in my practitioner, they'll do some voice work. Yes. So anybody who's interested in that, keep an eye on the website.
What is your website?
Well, I have a couple, but the main one that I'm just building now, so will be the main access point for all the other stuff, is www.laura-spicer.com. Very simple.
Would you spell that out for people
sure.
as well?
Sure. Laura is spelt L-A-U-R-A, and Spicer is like spice that you put on your food with an R at the end. So it's www.laura-spicer.com.
Wonderful. I hope people go check out the site. Now, is that site up now? Or?
It's up now. It's not complete, but there's stuff there.
Okay. And there's links to some of the other
things
links.
You
have.
One of the things we've got on the website at the moment is a little competition, which is I want to know who people think has the sexiest voice.
Ooh.
So people are putting in their votes for who they think has the sexiest voice, and then at the end of May, so I know it'll be gone by then. Sorry. I'll do it again. I'll run it again in September. Who has the sexiest voice? And then there'll be a free DVD for one that we pick out of the hat. Or somebody's contribution.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Male or female, doesn't
matter. Male or female.
The sexiest voice.
The sexiest voice.
All right. Because I happen to like Sean Connery. Can
I
vote now?
Yeah, you can vote now. You'll be in the May voting. You know, one of the funny things I've noticed when I ask people who their favourite voice or sexiest voice is, yeah, there's some people, Sean Connery is one that lots of people love. And I think your husband, John Lavelle, said the same thing. He thought Sean Connery had a really cool voice. But sometimes there's really quirky voices, you know, because it's very subjective what you like in a voice, because it's bathing you. And just like some people might like a massage to have more pressure and some less, there's the equivalent in voices. You know,
that's a great analogy.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of quirky voices. Do you remember there was a band, I guess in the 70s, they were called the Troggs, and they did a cover version of Jimi Hendrix's Wild Thing.
Yep.
And the lead singer of that comes from the West Country of England, and he has quite a whiny twang to his voice, but there's something about it when I hear it. It just gives me goosebumps all over.
Well, I want to thank you for all your help at the seminars as well. I know you staff at the seminars in Edinburgh, and you're helping us here as well. And I want to thank you for your help and your dedication to NLP and to helping people have not only a better voice, but a better life.
Yeah, thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you very much, Laura.
Great.
So this is Kathleen Lavelle, your roving reporter for Neurolinguistic Programming, signing off, and we're going to enjoy the rest of the seminar in sunny Amsterdam.
Sure are.
Bye-bye.
Bye.